Got a very full show and a very full weekend right here in Astoria. Actually, all of my guests this week, this is unusual, are either showing or performing in Astoria. So you're all welcome to come up and join us. We want to give a welcome to the cruise ships, and we're going to turn off all our cell phones and wherever they are. And Arts Live and Local is brought to you in part by Columbia River Coffee Roaster, wholesaling fresh roasted coffees since 1992 at 279 West Marine Drive, the Old Finnish Meat Market, with Three Cups Coffee House up front, espresso, coffee, homemade baked goods, Wi-Fi and gifts, open every day. Well, I'm sure you all know that Mother's Day is on Sunday. And in my humble opinion, we're all mothers. And we'll give a real credit to the mother of us all, and that would be our Earth Mother, but also to anyone who is nurturing, whether it's a child, human, any kind of animal, the environment, male, female. It's those traits that make this day special. So let's celebrate with one of our artists who actually is going to be coming to the Bay City Arts Center on May 19th, and that's Dorian Michael. I've played his guitar solos in the past, mellow and beautiful, and just got this new album, copyright 2010, but it's new to us, and it's a little bit livelier, so have a listen, and the name of the tune, I couldn't resist, Check Out Her Mama. Thanks for being here on Coast Community Radio.
Look here, boys, do what I say. This game of love ain't too easy to play. Now, if you want to see your future might hold, you better go on home with her before you get bold. Check out her mama before you say I'm due. Check out her mama, because between me and you, if her mama ain't fine, then you better take your time. She's gonna look just like her mama on down the line. Found the girl of your dreams, but you know these things aren't always what they seem. And you can laugh, but you'll see what I mean when you go on home with her. Check out the scene, check out her mama before you say I do. Check out her mama, because between me and you, if her mama ain't fine, then you better just take your time. Just like a mom on down the line. Hey.
Yeah. And that's Dorian Michael. Blues and Vocals. The Blues Neapolitans is the name of the tune, the name of the album, actually. The tune is Check Out Her Mama by Fred James Jr. And this was recorded in Atascadero, California. Yeah, something like that. So again, he's going to be at the Bay City Arts Center on May 19th for a concert. Well, right here in town this weekend, as you probably know if you are in and around this area or listen to the show, it is Second Saturday Art Walk in Astoria, and we have many galleries participating, as well as some of our local shops who are showing art at the same time. And I have three of the galleries represented here, two of them with their artists, and the third is the curator of a show of many of the wonderful local artists we have here. And a little bit later, I'll tell you what everybody else is doing for Second Saturday. So let me welcome Diane Kingsett, who is showing at Imogen. Hi, Diane.
Hi.
Nice to see you. And you live in Portland.
I do.
Okay. And we have Hickory Merching, who also lives in Portland.
Yes.
Okay.
Hello.
Okay. And actually, Hickory opened his show last week with an artist's talk, but tomorrow night is Second Saturday, and so you will be there.
That is correct.
Okay.
I will be there.
And also at Riversea, there will be a second show opening, Allison O'Donohue, with contemporary folk art in the it's Art in the Alcove, and it's a delightful show as well. And my third guest is none other than Sally LaCaff. Hi, Sally.
Hey, Carol.
All right. And Sally was asked to curate a show at Kala. And what's the name of your show?
It's called Birds, Beasts, Friends, and Relatives.
And where did you get the name from?
It's from a book. The title of the book is Birds, Beasts, and Relatives by Gerald Durrell, who... He was a naturalist.
And so you just popped in the friends, is
yes,
that it?
Right,
so,
yeah.
And that's what I popped over and saw the show, and it is full of birds, beasts, and many friends, and then a couple of pieces by your father.
A couple relatives, yes.
Yeah. That sculpture of Dallas.
Of my grandfather.
I didn't realize he was your grandfather.
Uh-huh.
And so, but it's just like him. Yeah.
It's a life mask, actually.
Dallas McKinnon. Oh, and no wonder. Mm-hmm. And many of the old-timers around here are familiar with Dallas. And so that is a delightful show. Now, let me come back to Diane, our visiting artists, Diane and Hickory. Diane, you are mostly abstract paintings, would you call them? Or what? How do you describe your work? The name of the show is Painting Between Intuition and Ego. Tell us.
For years, I called myself an abstract landscape painter.
Mm-hmm.
So not quite just abstraction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's always a horizon line and something to sort of hang yourself onto. Yeah.
You have some pretty big works in there, too. The show wasn't hung yet when I saw it, so I saw the work leaning against the wall. But there's some pretty big pieces.
I like to work large if I can.
And then you also have... Dogs.
The dogs.
Where did that come from? And those are not abstract in the real
I guess not. They feel abstract to me or abstracted. Mm. During travels, I've seen, you know, like when you go to Mexico and Jamaica, there's always these street dogs laying around.
Absolutely.
And they're sad and comical at the same time to me because they kind of don't realize what their plight is.
Mm.
So I just started to photograph them years ago and keep the photographs. And last few years, I started to paint those, and
that's interesting. That I was wondering where it came from, whether you had a thing about dogs or what. But that's an interesting way to have come to it.
They have amazing shapes, especially when they're sort of down and out, and they're laying in a lump on a sidewalk.
Yep.
They're just like I said. There's almost a comedy to their composition, so they're just sort of a natural subject matter for me.
Well, they're very appealing, I must
Thank
say.
You.
And
thanks.
For full disclosure, I am a dog person. So, but the works, and this is when I was saying that I'm going to get to Hickory in a minute, but yours, emotion, painter with emotion, and there's a dreamlike quality to your work. So what are you painting and what?
What's with that?
Yeah.
What is that?
And also what material?
Oil painting, typically.
Okay.
A lot of underpainting with acrylic paint.
Oh.
You know, I always feel like I'm painting an essence of something from the past. I don't really paint a current topic specifically. I just choose a palette, some color that I'm obsessed with at the time, and just start working. And usually halfway through the piece, I think, oh, that's... San Francisco, isn't that interesting? You know, so places come up that I've lived or that I've been, and they just seem to be reflections of memories of emotional places, and then some of them are inspired by current events. If something really tragic happens in the news, I feel the need to go up and sort of into the studio and sort of deal with that. Not necessarily make a tragic painting,
Right.
But just sort of work it out. So.
Well, it's interesting because given that, it means that the person looking can take whatever.
Exactly.
And you may see San Francisco coming up for you. I may see Florence or, you know,
I couldn't have said it better.
On the water.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
And I hope for that for people. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to specifically be assigned to what area I was attached to. So.
Yeah, I found myself drawn in. So that was good. But
great.
Yeah, it was good. But then I kept looking over at the dogs, too.
The dogs.
I have to admit.
You might need a dog painting for yourself.
There you go. I'm glad you didn't say a dog. That's what. That's a whole nother story. So let me go to Hickory, and then I wanted to each of you and then bring it all together. When I looked at the show before I read anything about it, I saw still life. However, this is not your ordinary still life. Not that I don't know what an ordinary one would be, but yours is the most extraordinary that I've ever seen. Tell us what you're working with and how you're working.
Well, I do set up a still life, and I do paint from observation. And so that is, in a generic sense, the definition of a still life. However, I add certain elements that are not in the still life in order to get a conversation going, such as, you know, I'm sure you saw the painting with the squirrel and the chainsaw.
I certainly did.
It's painted as if it's a still life,
mm-hmm.
but in the overall appearance, it's not necessarily a still life.
No, when one looks carefully, one says, and there's no way this could be.
That squirrel's going to be sitting
right.
there, correct?
And yet, the detail is such that it looks as if it is. So I don't know whether you're making a composite or from pictures, from memory, or just from your brain, and if so, why?
Well, for that, like that specific painting,
yeah.
The chainsaw is sitting there in front of me. I am painting the chainsaw from life, but I'm adding the squirrel into the painting, and I have a lot of references I pull from, a lot of books,
including
natural history
historical
books.
Stuff as
yeah,
well.
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly. So I try to make it all on the same plane and,
mm-hmm.
and look cohesive, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Well, and that was what I was saying about the two of you, Diane and Hickory. Your work is 180 degrees apart because the dreamlike quality versus the reality, whether or not it really is reality, it
sure.
definitely shows forth that way. Are you trained in making art? Have you been doing it since a child, and then did you go to school for it, or what's your background?
Yeah, I've always been I've always been drawing since I was a youngster. I did receive a bachelor of fine arts. However, I studied sculpture.
Oh.
I took up painting a little later in life. I didn't study it or anything. It just it came to me slowly.
And you're not doing sculpture anymore?
I'm not doing sculpture anymore.
Huh. Interesting.
I did sculpture for a living as a means to pay the bills.
What did you sculpt that made your living?
I was a foundry worker, bronze casting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So okay. They weren't my sculptures.
Right.
But I was
right.
employed in bronze casting. And did that for
here
a decade.
In Oregon?
Here in
As
Oregon.
As in Eastern Oregon?
Sandy and Boring.
Okay.
Yep. East
okay.
of Portland.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Sally, what? Mm-hmm. I'm looking at Sally. Sally, who has curated the show at Kala, also has a couple of pieces in it and is definitely one of our local artists. Have you ever done sculpture, though?
Not per se, some, you know, little found object kind of assemblage
yeah.
kind of thing, but never welding or
yeah.
bronze casting.
Right, well, certainly not that, but I'm just wondering, any kind of sculpture. What about you, Diane?
A little bit, but...
I know people, you know, ceramics, pots and things sometimes
I loved
cross over.
I did throw pots
you
in
did.
College. I loved
okay.
ceramics, but, you know, something, being a painter is, it's the art for the impatient. I don't have the patience to sculpt. I want to throw paint on the canvas and move it around and go from there. So.
And did you start when you were a child? Too?
I did. Drawing? Like Hickory, yeah. I drew a lot and then was really fortunate. My dad gave me a set of oil paints when I was, I think, 12. And my mom let me paint with turpentine in my bedroom.
Oh.
I know, it's funny. And so.
Were your parents involved in the arts themselves?
Or? Not really. Mm-hmm. Well, I shouldn't say that. My father now, he's an engineer, but he builds model ships from scratch. So he's an artist. But at the time, they weren't really. It just was something that I was just drawn to naturally.
And they
and
supported
didn't stop.
It, though.
Totally. Yeah. I was very fortunate.
And did you end up going to school in the arts?
I did. I got a BFA in painting.
Awesome.
And was very fortunate that I did. I'm glad I did. I don't have any regrets about that.
Yeah. Yeah. We hear different views from people. And what about you, Sally? And Sally's been on the show before, and local people know you, but a lot of people don't. So what's your background?
I'm just self-taught. I didn't go to any schooling. So.
But you come from a...
My father was an artist, and my mother has a lot of creative juices, too. She just works them out in different ways, gardening and sewing and stuff like that, you know.
And you're really, a lot of your art is involved in nature, natural, wildlife, birds.
Yeah. I really love the details of nature. It's very fascinating.
So how did you pick the people who, the other folks who were in the color show?
Mostly just people I knew.
Did you give them any?
No, I had no theme until midway along. So luckily, things just happened to fall into place the way they did. It's kind of remarkable how everything kind of fits the theme.
It's also remarkable how many incredible artists we have locally.
Yes, there's
it?
Some that are, you know, very young, very old.
You
not
have
not
some,
very old, but older.
But you have some very young people in there, and we've been watching.
It's been fun, yeah. It's a nice little combination of stuff. Lots of variety.
Well, have you curated a show before?
I don't think so. Not that I can remember. Not solo, anyway.
Was that... fun? Was it stressful having to choose
it
particular
has not
artists?
Been as stressful as I thought it would be, and maybe short notice is good that way because you just have to do it and be done. You know, you don't have time to worry about it.
Well, last week I had Sydney Stevens on, who was doing, as a matter of fact, her first reading or showing of the book. It was Local Legendaries of Long Beach Across the River, and she had to invite people. I mean, there were some dead people too, but there were a lot of living people.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of choosing which people you're going, and she said, as a matter of fact, when it was over, she realized she has to do another book on this. And she asked the publishers, the editors, and they said, okay, because, you know, digging this up, she discovered, you can lose a lot of friends that way. So.
Well, I haven't heard about that yet.
There you go.
But it's a small gallery, so I couldn't really... put too many people in.
Have either of you ever had that experience of working from the other side? It's kind of like talking to a theater person, acting versus directing. No.
It's a good experience. I really have enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I could see it would be enjoyable to sort of be off the hook for the the internal work.
I did create a couple little pieces, but they're small and really quick, and I could have not done so easily. And I had kind of a goofy, weird theme tying it all together, so I wanted to do a little display that's almost like a shrine that sort of explains my thought process a little bit. So
that came in afterwards. Well, actually, some of Hickory's stuff might have fit into your show.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Because he's got a lot. Well, you've got the birds.
The
squirrels.
The squirrels and the foliage. And
right.
Yeah,
right. There's a lot of...
A lot of wood.
Yeah.
So, dogs would qualify too. So it's kind of all over town, you know.
Well, and that's all over town. I didn't even feed you that line, but that's what's happening this weekend. All over town. Let me tell you what else is going on in the other galleries. Old Town Framing is featuring Renee Donnelly from Seattle originally, a freelance photographer. Tempo Gallery, which is the Astoria Music Festival right next door to Old Town, is featuring our own Marga Stanley, who is a programmer here, and very whimsical art. And she's got some abstract works, which would be interesting to see because most of her stuff is, cartoony or But you can definitely see where you are. Fernhill Glass Studio, which is right across the street from the radio station on Exchange, 1450 Exchange, is actually having demo glass blowing all day from 11 a.m. until 8 p.m. So they will be part of Art Walk, but they're also having their demos all day. And Trails End Souvenirs and Gifts, which ordinarily one would think, huh, why is that in the art show? Well, I went in there and checked it out. They're right on 1365 Commercial. They've got artwork by locals from Warrenton, Seaside, and even Alita Wilson with her photography. And Fort George at the Lovell Building is Ryan Dubrowski, I guess he pronounces it. And if you recognize that name, you're right, because he's the drummer and the co-creator of Blind Pilot. And the name of the show is The Art Behind Blind Pilot. And Lightbox, which is, and that's going on from 5 until 10. Lightbox is, during the day, is featuring, is honoring Catherine Thayer, who died recently. She was a local, wonderful local artist doing gum. It's the process, the gum process. And she was here once and described it in detail. And folks who understand that kind of stuff, it was fascinating. Gum bichromate printing process. And she and Diana Bloomfield established a relationship without ever meeting. So it's called Two Friends Who Never Met. And there are other photographers who are joining that show. At 3 o'clock, there's a reception and artists talk, but you have to have a reservation for that, 468-0238. 6 p.m., not 5 like the rest of the people. 6 p.m. is the public showing. And then a place called In the Boudoir, which, again, I've never even run into, 1004 Commercial. It has Andrew Sear and Laurie Johnson's photography and Marga, and also P. Davis, local artists. So there's a lot of art going around. Don't miss this tomorrow night. Be sure to stop in and see. Imogen is right on 11th and Marine Drive. And River Sea is right on Commercial between 11th and 12th. 11th and 12th. And so everything is sort of around the corner from everything else. Imogen, Kala is just around the corner from that on Marine Drive between 10th and 11th, as is the Lightbox. And so you can catch all of this tomorrow night between 5 and 8 mostly. Anything you want to say about your art or about being in Astoria? Is this your first time, by the way, for...
Showing here? Oh, yeah.
It is. Yeah. Okay. How did you connect with Imogen?
Actually, a good friend, Lauren Montecon.
Oh, yes.
Shows there.
Oh, yes.
And
right. Right.
Terry from Imogen was at Lauren's house and saw a painting of mine on Lauren's wall.
And wanted to have you
kind of
looped come.
Through, so
excellent.
It was great.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. How about you, Hickory?
Janine at River Sea has been showing my work since the early spring of 2011.
Nice.
Very supportive, and yeah.
Have you had a solo show, though?
This is the first solo show.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful show.
Oh, thank you.
Your show, I did see up, just fills the whole room, and it is, I was stopping and walking around looking at each piece, and Janine said, are you doing your homework?
That's great.
That was yesterday. I said, you bet.
They hung it really well.
Yeah, they do.
It looks nice.
They do. That's one of the things about the galleries here, too. They take the time, make the effort. So congratulations to all of you.
Thank you.
Job well done. And this is tomorrow evening all over Astoria, and there's usually a map around for you to take a look at, but it's in the main area on Commercial and Marine, most of the galleries and shops. Thanks so much for coming in. Okay.
Thank you
for having us.
All right. And it's 3:23 here at Coast Community Radio, and I have a tune from the Brownsmead Flats, and they are going to be at Sunday Afternoon Live on Sunday for Mother's Day. And I want to send this tune of theirs. This is Dan's tune. I want to send this one out to our good friend Donna. Donna Quinn, this one's for you.
Sail away, sail away. sun's gonna rise this morning, moon's gonna shine tonight. If I could see it one more time, I'd dance in the glorious light. The rain will fall, the snow will blow, sun will bake us dry. It's all part of the circle, no need to wonder why. Sail away, sail away, sail away home. Sail away, sister, sail away home. Mothers, fathers, daughters, sons, brothers, sisters too. We take a place for a short time and then we start anew. We view each birth with joy and hope, begins another day. But soon our time is up and it's time to sail away. Sail away, sail away, sail away home. Sail away, sister, sail away home. Sail away, sail away, sail away home. Sail away, sister, sail away home. I put it in a jar for you, the colors and the light, to take along your journey and to help you through the night. And as you sail out one last time, the beauty you will see. Your wings are gonna lift you and finally set you free. Sail away, sail away, sail away home. Sail away, sister, sail away home. Sail away, sail away, sail away home. Sail away, sister, sail away home. We'll all sail away someday, sail away home.
And again, that's the Brownsmead Flats. They'll be at Sunday Afternoon Live
in
Raymond, Washington on Sunday at 2 p.m. And that song and Our Hearts go out to Donna Quinn. Well, my next guest is also going to be all over town, only this is happening tonight. And it is a very special gathering. And everybody is invited to join because they are having a party. It's a Richard Spear party. Did you know that?
That sounds good to me.
Yeah. Okay. I have Richard Spear here, and I also have
Rebecca Agnes
here. And Rebecca Agnes is going to introduce Richard, since she knows and what they're doing and why and how this is all coming together. We did have you showed a movie a couple of months ago to help raise some funds.
We showed a Gerhard Richter film, right, that was introduced by Betsy Millard, and right, it was to raise some money for Richard's lecture,
okay,
to pay for some of his travel and right, lecture fees and so on and so
it's
forth.
Not just a party, you have to talk.
Yeah.
This is a work party.
That's right.
We all worked together, and this was our real effort for the arts community to come together and to try to sponsor more events that feature art-related process for the community. And so this is part of Astoria Creative Event, which is basically Astoria Visual Arts, AVA, Astoria Arts Community Together, ACT, Kala at Hipfish, Imogen, Lightbox, and Riversea Galleries. And some downtown businesses have donated some food for the event that happens later tonight, which is wonderful places like the Bridgewater Bistro and Clemente's and Fulio's and so on. So it's wonderful food that's going to happen later.
Okay, folks. So even if you hate art, no, obviously you wouldn't be listening.
You like
to
eat
show
and drink. So this is going to be an evening with Richard Spear, and Richard is the visual arts critic for the Pulitzer Prize-winning Willamette Week, which is an alternative newspaper in Portland. And his reviews have been featured in Art News and Visual Arts Source, many other publications, Newsweek, Los Angeles Times, and so on and so forth. The tickets are $15, and I think, have maybe seven.
Oh, is that right? You only have seven tickets left?
We might only have seven tickets left, and you can still get those at either Imogen or at the door at Kala.
If there's any left.
If there's some left.
Okay.
And we'll start out having some...
Okay, so now the tickets, though, are for the lecture or for the whole thing?
For the whole thing.
Ah.
Basically. You can go to pre-cocktail or pre-lecture cocktails.
I just want to run through this because it sounds like such a luscious evening. Uh-huh. 5 o'clock at Imogen for a cocktail reception. 5:45 at Lightbox for a meet and greet. Mind you, there's... All this art that we were talking about a minute ago is going to be up on these walls of these galleries, so you get an entire experience. And then at 6:30 is Richard Spears' lecture at Kala. And then after that, if you're still standing, 7:45 is at Riversea. There's going to be a gala gathering. So, sounds like fun, huh?
Well, and then there's the after party. Don't forget about that.
There's always those.
Sounds good to me. Absolutely.
But anyway, it's great to have Richard here in the community, so I'd rather you just ask him questions.
Right. Well, I understand. First of all, I didn't realize you got around that much. How long have you been doing this work, and how does one train to become an art critic? Do you come from an art background? Have you made art, or do you just like to tell people that you like or don't like their art? How does this work?
You know, I've been at Willamette Week since 2002. Oh. And prior to that, I was actually a television journalist. And and before that, I was a pianist and an opera singer. And so I grew up, my adolescence in Europe, exposed to all kinds of visual art and architecture and opera and orchestral music. And so that really sort of ignited my love of the visual arts. In college, I minored in humanities and really became exposed to modern and contemporary art, which was something that I hadn't known much about as a teenager. And so that kind of laid the groundwork. I left broadcast journalism in 2000, and then in 2002 began writing for Willamette Week. And so it's hard to believe that as of July, I will have been the art critic there for 11 years.
Yeah.
But it's really a pleasure. And a pleasure to be here, by the way. Thank you for inviting me on the show.
I'm delighted you're here. This is an interesting evolution, though.
It has been. And it's such a pleasure, too. I mean, to go out every first Thursday, last Thursday sometimes, too. They did have a second Thursday for a while. Mm-hmm. But to look at artwork and talk to artists, read about the artwork from the artist's statement and from talking in conversation, and then actually sort of filter that through the sieve of an informed opinion, put it into words, and send it out for dissemination. It's a real unusual and fun way to make a living.
Yeah, I would think so. It's quite a luscious experience. You get to gather around just even what I do, having all the artists come in. I feel honored and delighted to have that experience. So you are that much more because you're in Portland and have a larger palette, perhaps. But I'm wondering, you're going to be talking about perhaps the relationship between artists and critics. Do you have feelings? Are you immune to people's responses? Do you take them into consideration? How does this work? You've been there for 11 years, so this means you're doing well, and they like you, and the public must appreciate what you do.
I'd like to think so. Not uniformly, I'm sure. You kind of had to take it on a case-by-case basis. Sometimes I will walk into an exhibition and really want to find out as much from the artist as I can about what the work is about.
Because why?
Because on the one hand, the more information that you get, the more informed your opinion is. But then on the other hand, sometimes I will walk into exhibition and I feel that if it doesn't give me something, if it doesn't give the viewer, of whom I am one, something to grab onto with your teeth without reading reams of artists' statements and curators' statements, then maybe it hasn't done as good of a job as it could have. So really, I sort of walk in sort of virginally to each show and let it speak to me as to whether this is something that I need to find out a lot about and before I write about it, or just go in just like your average viewer would without any aforethought of
what
it's going to be.
What I'm wondering is, and it's sounding as though, if you find that you want to either talk to the artist or read up on them, it's because something is drawing you in.
Yes.
You want to go deeper.
Very much.
Whereas sometimes your curiosity is not even piqued.
I would rather have an artwork or a show that either speaks to me very ecstatically or that I really think is aggressively bad than just have a show that sort of floats somewhere in that vast middle.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. That apathy is the worst part of it.
Yes.
Kind of the opposite of everything else. So you enjoy what you're doing. Did you retain any kind of connection with music? I mean, if you were opera singing, then.
Well, that was in my college years, yeah. And I still very much love opera, and I sing as an amateur.
You do.
I do, and I do think that people who write about art and architecture and all of the performing and visual arts would do well to integrate disciplines. So when I write about art, I like to incorporate some of the parlance of music.
Mm-hmm.
We have vice versa as well. When I write about music, I will incorporate, elements of the visual arts, because we have harmony, we have dissonance, we have rhythm.
Mm-hmm. In the visual as well as the...
Absolutely.
Obviously, in the music, yeah.
And so I'm somebody who doesn't recognize a lot of arbitrary distinctions between mm-hmm. entities or disciplines. So I like to mix everything into a mélange and write about things in a sort of interdisciplinary way.
Do you think, you mentioned that you grew up much of your time in Europe. Do you think that made a difference? Do you think that this interest in art and music was cultivated more there?
For sure. I do think that on the whole, in Europe, you will, and as well as other parts of the world, you will see more institutional support of the arts than what we get here, which you know well.
Yeah. we certainly do.
Yeah, people in community radio, people in nonprofits in the visual arts.
Yeah.
I mean, for example, in Portland, we have had a succession of arts organizations that have tried and failed.
Sounds familiar.
Does it?
Yeah.
Wonderful interdisciplinary arts organization called the Portland Center for the Arts,
mm-hmm.
Portland Arts Center, sorry. And it was helmed by Gavin Shetler and was a marvelous organization, but it simply could not get the funding and maintain the funding that it needed. So, when you compare that to the generous funding that we see of programs in Australia, for example, as well as in Europe and in parts of Latin America, it's a big contrast. And on that area, I think we mm-hmm. drew the short end of the stick.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and one wonders why. but it seems to be pervasive if you're talking about Portland, which is obviously a much larger city than Astoria. And yet we have some of the same issues trying to bring people together. So what are you going to talk about tonight?
I'm going to talk about three main things. Two of them are artists that I have been affiliated with in different projects. One of them is named Matt Lamb. He passed away last year at the age of 79. He's a painter who was based in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, the second, is Peter Halley, who is a geometric abstractionist who lives in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to talk about the differences between those two artists' practices. And they really couldn't get more different if they had tried.
In their practices and in their productions?
Yes.
In their art as well?
Yes,
okay.
And then the third and final thing I'm going to talk about is about the Portland arts mm-hmm. community and my role in it as a critic.
Okay. Have you spent any time in Astoria before?
I have. Yes. We happened through here Dorothy Good, my partner, and I happened through here last year, and just by chance wound up in town and mm-hmm. had a marvelous time. And
good.
So we're glad to be back.
Good, because we do have, though, despite what I was saying about the difficulties, we have a very rich, as you
I know that.
Can see and hear,
yes.
very rich art scene.
Well, you mentioned Lauren. You mentioned Lauren Montacon, whom I have mm-hmm. reviewed for a long time in Portland since she was showing at the Mark Woolley Gallery when mm-hmm. it was at its Pearl District location. And also, there's an artist named Darren Orange.
Oh, yes.
who yes. reviewed his work for a long time as well.
Yeah.
And
me too, in my bedroom, my living room. yes. And actually, you will see a couple of his pieces at Kala
oh,
tonight
good.
Because Sally LaCaff, who curated that show, brought in some of Darren's work as well.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Unfortunately, Darren is out of town. He went to a UCOP Cross residency
yeah.
and left at the end of April. So
yeah.
he isn't here right now.
Well, I'm sad I won't be able to see him.
You'll have to come back.
It was I would love to. It was a very fun show that he did that mm-hmm. I wrote up. In fact, it was for Ava Lake's gallery,
Love Lake,
which was down on, I think, 17th, mm-hmm. Northwest 17th in Portland.
Nice.
And she does a show similar to what you do,
mm-hmm.
And she does on KBOO in
oh, yes.
Portland.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So will you have a chance? Now, you're not, are you going to be here tomorrow night as well? Saturday
I
night?
Will be in town tomorrow,
okay,
yes.
good. Because it would be nice if you have a chance to go to all of the galleries that are showing, although you will be at many of them tonight. If you take part in all these festivities, I don't know, maybe you have to sit still like an Indian bride and we'll all party and you'll be sitting at Kala waiting for us.
No,
it didn't strike
me. Well, that
me
doesn't that, sound fun.
No, it doesn't strike me that you're that kind of guy either. So, well, I want to thank you so much for coming to Astoria, and I want to thank the
all of the
art groups that have supported
sure.
this. And we really understand the importance of art and creativity in life, basically, in making this world possible.
Yes.
Because creative problem solving, all the things that art does that some people don't get. And
it's
don't
a
understand. But
it's a fuel, isn't it? It's a fuel
absolutely.
For the eyes. It's a refreshment for the eyes and for
yes.
the interior of ourselves.
Yeah. And it's
well.
A renewable fuel, too. So renewable energy.
I like
here
that.
We are.
That's my kind of energy program.
There you go.
I
me
like
too.
That. Thanks you for
so
having
much.
Me
thanks,
on.
Thanks, Carol.
Thanks. Okay. And that's Richard Speer and Rebecca Agnes. And again, tonight, starting out at 5 and making the rounds, Imogen, Lightbox, Kala, and Riversea. And you can check with Imogen on 11th and Marine Drive, see if there are still tickets, or just come on over.
Their and the number is 503-468-0620.
There you go. Right.
Or you can call Kala at 503-338-4878.
Okay, great. Or if you're right here in town, run on over there and grab yourself a ticket. Okay, I have one more guest, a very special person, and there's some music to go with this. You've been hearing about it, and no one has been quite sure how to pronounce it, but the Agnieszka Laska Dancers and Ruta Kuzmitskas. There we go. These are the certified pronunciations of the name. It's going to be a fabulous concert on Sunday afternoon at the Performing Arts Center in Astoria, 3 p.m. Here is some music from Ruta's playing, and I'm going to let Agnieszka tell you about it. Thanks for being here. Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9, 89.5 in Tillamook.
Thank you.
with our pianist playing in the background. I just want to let you know what else is going on. The Spring Stomp at the Voodoo Room is tonight and tomorrow at 8 p.m. Rural Music Programs, supporting rural music programs. Coaster Theater, Charing Cross Road, Friday and Saturday and Sunday this week. Nacell High School, Thoroughly Modern Millie. Barn Community Playhouse in Tillamook. You know I can't hear you when the water is running. Four one acts. The Sand Trap is featuring Black Lilies. The Adrift Hotel, Alameda. Cannon Beach Gallery Mix and Mingle with Wes Warmond. Hondo's Brew and Cork, Open Mic. And tomorrow, Vino Manzanita has Wes Warman. Sydney Stevens, as I mentioned before, legendary locals of the Long Beach Peninsula, is at Adelaide's on tomorrow and on Wednesday at the Picture Attic in Long Beach. Astoria Art Walk. Elvis is in the house at the Astoria Moose. The Presidio Brass is at the Liberty tomorrow night. Sounds of the Cinema. Riversong Foundation from 9 to 4 is featuring a rummage sale and cat adoption with live music. And this is all for the Animal Sanctuary benefit. And Raymond High School, Know and Grow Family. Again, there will be live music with Recess Monkeys. Northwest Author Series in Cannon Beach Library at 2 o'clock. Traditional Woven Wasco Baskets from 9 to 5 at Barbie Maritime Center. Clamshell Box Workshop at Dots and Doodles tomorrow afternoon, 2 to 5. Lightbox, I mentioned already, two friends who never met. Ties That Bind, Interweaving Domestic and Civic Life, and the Second Street Public Market in Tillamook. That's at the Astoria Library. Second Street Public Market in Tillamook, Philip Kakakuren, 3 to 5, and that's a family show. Sunday afternoon live with the Brownsmead Flats. Fort George, Bill Baird, that was a change. The Reluctant Dragon is 3 o'clock at the Ocean Park Methodist Church with a reception following Buddha's birthday at the Great Vow Zen Monastery, Astoria High School Art Sale and Tea, and Brooke Dooling, Herbal Tinctures at the Seaside Library. Next Thursday, Clatsop Community College Gallery. It has the student show with Michael Foster Juring and Seaside Library with Carrie Cohn, Seeing Ezra, A Mother's Story of Autism. And right now I have the concert that is going to be happening on Sunday. The piano that you're hearing in the background, close to the foreground, is the pianist who will be here in Astoria. And this concert is going to be fantastic. It's at 3 o'clock at the Performing Arts Center, and my guest is here to tell us about it. So, welcome, Agnieszka.
Hi, Carol. So nice to be here in Astoria again.
I'm so glad you're back. Yes, you're usually here only during the Astoria Music Festival.
Well, actually, this concert on Sunday is also part of Astoria Music Festival.
You know, actually, Keith Clark was on the air this morning. He did an interview with Patrick Webb, and he mentioned it. He said this is kind of the opening of the Astoria Music Festival. So, tell us what is happening on Sunday, and who are you, and who are your dancers? Now, I know.
Well, my name is Agnieszka Laska. I'm a choreographer from Poland, and some people in Astoria know me because I work in Astoria Music Festival for the last 3 years, I believe.
That's right. And now, were you a dancer as well before you were a choreographer?
Oh, absolutely. I had 20 years of professional dance career.
Thank you. You were a solo dancer with the Polish National Ballet, I happen to know. So,
thank you.
Let's give a little background there. So now you're here and you have your own troupe, is that right?
I have my own company, and you know, it's going to be 10th anniversary of the company.
Oh,
this year, I just didn't know. Time is flying so fast. Yeah. It's 10 years when I'm doing it here.
I've seen a video, but I've never seen them live, so I'm really looking forward to this concert.
So that was my perception when I was here for the first time to see Astoria Music Festival. I was like, that would be fantastic community to bring my dance company here, because we very often perform with live music.
Mm-hmm. So, what is the live music going to be this Sunday, though?
Oh, this Sunday is going to be this brilliant young Lithuanian pianist, Ruta Kuzmicka. You know, Poland and Lithuania at some point historically were the same country.
Yes.
We have the same government.
Yes, but not anymore.
Not anymore, but we're still in a good terms.
Yes.
So,
yes. Yeah. And Ruta is also living in Portland.
Yes.
And I understand she's quite young.
She's 17. But she as for 17, she has a really, really promising beginning of career. And I think she will be like, you know, one of the very top pianists in this country.
So this is exciting because, as Keith was saying this morning, how we caught our cellist at the beginning of his career, it sounds as though it's not quite the beginning. I think Portland caught her first, but it's
she basically that you're she bringing basically her here. Achieved everything what she could for her age.
And now she is coming here to play what? Tell us what's going to happen Sunday.
Well, what we're doing together with Ruta is so-called Chopin Project. About a year and a half ago, I start as a, like, you know, background thing, choreographing one by one Chopin preludes from Opus 28. There are beautiful, gorgeous pieces of music. And I was in a mood that I can just choreograph one, two, three of them. And then, depending on what we need, we can present some of them, not all of them. And it's very handy because depending where we're going, how many dancers I have to work with me, I can always choose, okay, we can do this, this, this. And from this set, actually, two of them would be premiered with Ruta. And they were choreographed on Ruta's request, basically.
Oh, wow. So how many of these Chopin preludes are there, and how many have you choreographed, or are you choreographing?
I choreographed 14, but we're going to see five of those plus the Nocturne from Opus 9, number 1.
Wow. Now, why Chopin?
Well, I'm Polish. Chopin is Polish.
A lot of people don't know that. The name sounds French. It does not. It's not one of those unpronounceable names like yours. So
thank you.
People think, oh, well, he's French or whatever, but
no, Chopin is one of the greatest Polish composers.
I know. When I was in Poland, that I mean, it's very clear. Every place is featuring his
music.
Yeah,
he was born in a place called Żelazowa Wola. Yeah, so see that's what I mean? Definitely not France.
No, and it's not pronounceable by most of us either. So, so this is what you do when you're working with your troupe. Have you done this before where you've chosen a composer and just started working on this? Because this is kind of unusual, I think.
Well, Chopin's music is very dancey music because he was inspired by a lot of these Polish tunes, Polish folk tunes. So if in his mazurkas, obviously,
yes,
mazurka
right.
is a folk dance.
Right.
But in the preludes, there's a lot of tunes that are coming from Polish folk dances. So it's music that's calling for being choreographed.
I love it. I love it because, in fact, there have been a number of people who have talked about the fact that a lot of classical music, Béla Bartók, a lot of classical music is really inspired by the folk music of the people, and then it's brought up to a
that's
different
right
levels.
Because it's so alive and it's so vivid and it has the blood of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I want to mention one more thing. If we're talking about someone being Polish and people not knowing about it, Wacław Nijinsky, the great choreographer, the one who choreographed Rite of Spring, which 100th anniversary we're going to also celebrate here in Astoria, and we're going to see preview of the Rite of Spring in this concert, very concert, on Saturday. Wacław Nijinsky was also Polish.
Well, he'd have to be with that first name, Wacław.
Yeah.
I know that name. Wow.
The story is that many people think he was Russian because at the time he was born, Poland didn't exist as an independent country. So he was traveling on a Russian passport as a Tsar citizen. And,
interesting.
You know, so yeah.
Yeah, that was true for something like 130 years. Poland was sort
about
of,
yeah. that, yes.
But the Polish people maintained their feeling,
nationality.
National, and so now we have the independent country. Yeah.
And basically what helped us to maintain this is culture, music, poetry.
Wow. The richness of it,
yes. Yeah.
Now, when did you come to this country?
About 11 years ago, yeah.
11 years ago only?
Yeah.
But you learned English in Poland?
I learned English when I was 6 years old. Yeah. My dad went to England and came for 6 months, and then he started teaching me.
Okay, yeah, because your English is very good.
Well, my husband is American, so
too,
I have another coach right here.
And he does not speak Polish.
No.
Most people don't.
Very little. His Polish is pretty limited.
Yeah. When I was in Poland, it took me 3 weeks just to learn how to read. And the letters look like the English the alphabet that we use, but it isn't, plus all those consonants, etc. And now, do you dance yourself, or you're strictly choreographing at this point and directing?
Well, I hate to say how old I am, but my dance career end like about 15 years ago, so I don't dance anymore.
Before you left Poland?
No. 15 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So I teach dance, I choreograph. I'm really happy to work with young, beautiful, fantastic, well-trained dancers who are way more able to do stuff than I was when I was a dancer.
So when I was looking at the Vimeo or video, whatever it was on, barefoot.
Yes.
So when people say ballet...
Well, we're not ballet. We not use point shoes. It's a modern dance company. I mean, most of my dancers have a ballet training. It's also fun for them to use different kind of body expression.
Yeah. What's the age range in your company?
I think the youngest person right now is in their early 20s, and my older dancer is after 40. I don't want to say exactly how old she is.
Okay. It's okay. We won't know who's who anyway. So how many people are going to be coming on Sunday?
Eight dancers.
Eight dancers. And then is there any other music being provided, or is Ruta doing it all?
Well, yes. So Ruta will be playing with us Chopin Project. Okay. Then she will have a small recital playing Schumann, Bach, and Chopin's Polonaise.
Okay.
And then at the end of the concert will be short preview of this newest choreography for the Rite of Spring that I, Polish choreographer, compatriot of Wacław Niżyński, I was commissioned to do for the celebration of 100th anniversary of the Rite of Spring this year.
Fabulous. Okay. Well, in Portland, do your dancers perform? Is there much call for that?
Actually, this season, we have show after show after show. We hold a meeting yesterday, and the dancer is like, we really need to get ready for this premiere of Rite of Spring that's going to happen 7th of June. And we have a show after show after show. We don't have enough time for rehearsals. But I was like, still have months to the premiere, so you guys should be good. They're very talented, fantastic dancers.
Yeah,
so.
Sounds fantastic. I think it's going to be a fabulous performance. I just have to say why I recognize the name. I would challenge anyone in our audience, unless you happen to be Polish, to spell, don't tell them, to spell Wrocław. I happen to know because I spent a few nights there, and one would never know how it's written. So it is challenging. Your troupe looks like an international group, though, multi-ethnic group. Is that true, or is that just the video that I was looking at?
Different backgrounds?
It's
just average Americans. I mean, they're coming from ethnicities,
which is
of course.
This is what Americans look like.
Yeah,
everything.
That's a diversity that we see on the street.
Yeah, which is terrific. So this Sunday at 3 p.m. at the Performing Arts Center, and I believe tickets at the door.
You also can purchase tickets at Astoria Music Festival office.
Of course.
Online at astoriamusicfestival.org.
Okay, and I'm not sure whether you'll be able to do this, but one of the galleries that's part of Art Walk is the Astoria Music Festival office is also known as the Tempo Gallery, and they will be showing art, including Marga Stanley. So you can stop by there. It's right on... Commercial 1271 Commercial is the Astoria Music Festival office, and they would love to see you and be able to sell you a ticket. But hopefully, it will be sold out, but I think there'll be tickets at the door as well.
Especially because this is a special concert for the Mother's Day.
That's
so
right.
So tickets regular are $20.
I almost forgot.
Each mom ticket only $10. Music is teachers, dance students, and music students only $5.
Oh, my goodness.
Not only that, this includes a rose for every mom.
Yes. And
the Polish desserts. They're coming from Polish Grandpa's Cafe, and there are going to be ponczki, faworki, and other sweets. You don't
That's
want to miss
it.
That's
the part that I almost forgot. No, yes. I don't want to miss that. Polish dessert. Who made the Polish desserts?
Where are they? Grandpa's Cafe in Portland.
In Portland.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for bringing this here again. This is this Sunday at 3 o'clock at the Performing Arts Center on 16th and Franklin. The Agnieszka Laska dancers and pianist Ruta
Kuźnickas.
Okay, thank you so much for coming in, and I'm looking forward to the concert.
Thank you very much for having me here.
Close out with more of Ruta's playing, and I will wish you all a week of peace and a weekend full of art. Don't forget all of the things that are happening, and blessings from the Dalai Lama, who is in Portland as we speak.